God is here today. He's always here. But how many know? He's just such a sweet spirit coming in this morning. You say, well, I didn't feel that. Well, you can. If you'll worship him long enough, if you'll stay in there, if you'll keep praising him and keep giving him glory, thank him for that he's cleansed you of all of your sin. Maybe you weren't feeling too good today. You said, Lord, I missed it. I made a mistake. I failed you. Call upon that precious blood. He said, if you confess your sin, you're already feeling bad about it, then I know you're saved. God's already dealing with you. Hallelujah. It's good news when we sense his conviction in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. No need to condemn yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation for you. You are in Christ. And he said, I am reconciling you to myself. Hallelujah. I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All sin. Hallelujah. How many want to be righteous? That's the key, see? A lot of the world, they're not thinking. A lot of people think, well, I just got to stop sinning. No, you need to let Jesus become your righteousness. Because it's about being right with God. It's about knowing that he paid the price for that sin. See, sin is not really separating people from God anymore. Jesus paid the price. It's just receiving that free gift. Amen. When we can say, yes, I believe that Jesus died on that cross. He paid the penalty for me. I receive forgiveness today. I'm not going to go around in the mully grubs of how I feel, but I'm going to believe what God said. He forgives me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I've had times where maybe you didn't feel like you were saved. Maybe you felt like you were a lowly worm. Maybe you felt like you were not good enough for God. His blood has been shed for you. And sometimes we've got to take that word of God and we've got to say, no, I'm not going to be moved by how I feel. I'm going to believe that I am washed in the precious blood. Father, I've confessed my sin to you and I receive forgiveness and I'm going forward. Your feelings will catch up later. They surely will. It doesn't matter. If you'll move forward, you will sense his presence again. You will sense his forgiveness. You will know his love in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter what it's been. It doesn't matter if it was last night. If it was 5 minutes ago, I had the wrong thought. Lord, cleanse me and wash me with your precious blood. Oh, he loves you, saint. He loves you, child of God. He believes in you. Hallelujah. You say, well, who you're talking today? I'm not sure, but I know somebody. Hallelujah. Because I've got the mouth of the Lord today. The voice of God is speaking. He loves you. He's forgiven you. He has cleansed you. He has washed you white as snow. He's made you his son and daughter and taken you into his family. And he wants you to know he loves you today. He loves you more than you've ever known. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's just worship God a little bit more, just right out of your heart. Just lift your hands. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. If that's you today, you said, man, I just don't feel it, Pastor. I'm not feeling anything. Then that's when we offer the sacrifice of praise because he is good. Say, Lord, thank you. I believe you love me, Lord. That's it. And I receive your love. I believe you love me, Father. I receive your love. I believe you love me, Father. And I receive your love. Yes, that's it. That's right. That's it. He comes right in. He lives in there. Your spirit's going to get stirred up today. Amen. Amen. Is I think everybody, just about everybody's been there time in their life. Anybody been there? I've been there. Maybe you haven't been there, but I didn't feel so much like God loved me. I feel like I was disappointing, but we can believe that he loves us. Amen. He believes in you. He's got your best interest at heart. He has forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm getting happy already. Glory to God. You said, man, brother, you just preached a little bit of the gospel. I know, and the Bible said it's the power of God unto salvation, deliverance, freedom, safety, soundness. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. The psalmist said, restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I've confessed my sin and you are faithful now. I'm going to teach transgressors their ways. I'll help them. I'm going to help somebody. Who's going to help somebody else now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Is joy rising in you? Is you sensing the love of God in you? Is there peace coming forward? Amen. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You are somebody. You're his son or daughter. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We sang about that wonderful name this morning. The wonderful name of Jesus. Why is it so wonderful? Because of what he accomplished. Because of the precious blood that he shed. Because of the remission of sin. Because he said, I will make you my very own. I'm going to come and make my home on the inside of you. You'll be my son and my daughter. Oh, glory to God. Woo! How many know he lives right here? He lives on the inside of your spirit. Right there. Why? Because he placed his very own life. The very life of God came to the inside of you. And if you've been born again, that life is in there. I don't care if it's just a little spark in there. He'll stir it up today if you'll acknowledge him. Amen. Just acknowledge him a little, Lord. He'll begin to stir that on the inside of you. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. You'll get all stirred up from the inside out. See, your spiritual man loves to be fed the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody. Amen. If you didn't eat it, I'll take it anyway because I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9. That's for the saved, man. That's not for the sinner. It's for the saint. If you have committed sin. Hallelujah. Amen. If you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, of course, 1 John 2 says, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he paid the price. Glory to God, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Oh, hallelujah. How many are happy? How many are glad that it's good news today? Good news, not just to the saint, but also to the sinner. Hallelujah. There's good news in the house today. Praise God, praise God. You said, brother, that's so simple. I know it. I'm just reading what God said to us in his word. I don't think he tried to complicate it. Maybe you do. That's okay. Sometimes I think we do complicate it. You know, we try to get our own little thinking involved, don't we? Say, oh, Lord, how can that be? The greater one lives in me. It's still true if you'll trust him and believe because he said it so. 1 John 4:4. What do you say? Ye are of God, little children. You're of God. That means you're a son. That means you belong to him. Amen. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Woo, glory. Why? Because God lives in you and he's big. He's mighty. Amen. You may feel weak on the outside. Paul felt weak a time or two. He said, when I am weak, then am I strong? Why? Because the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in you. If you haven't been born again yet, you can ask him in. Say, come on in, Jesus. That's it. That's all it takes. Come on in, Jesus. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. It's easy. It's not that hard. I believe that you died for me, Jesus. I believe you cleansed me of sin. I believe you paid the price. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come on in. Amen. How many believe that? If you mean that with your heart, somebody that's watching today, or maybe you're listening online, you said, I believe that in my heart, and you made Jesus, then Jesus will be your Lord. Say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were raised from the dead. Hallelujah. You know what? We're just getting ready. You know why? Because when revival comes and God's calling, things are happening. People are crying out in the middle of services to be saved, to be cleansed, to recommit their life. Amen. It's not, how many know it's not all about the preacher, but it's about every person that comes to him. Amen. About saving the lost and finding him. Anyway, praise the Lord. It was good anyhow. That's not the message today fully, but that's a good start, wasn't it? Hallelujah. How many get a little encouraged when you hear about our Savior? Amen. How much he loves us. How, what a price he paid. Hallelujah. It's almost too good to be true, isn't it? But it is true. It's the truth. And that's the good news. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what we've been talking about here the last few weeks, about God's faithfulness. And our desire to walk faithfully with him. Amen. Hallelujah. How many remember a few weeks back we started out and we looked at Luke chapter 12. And what we saw, well, yeah, we don't have to look there right now, but we looked at that. I'm just going to briefly review and move forward today. There's no condemnation. I want everybody to realize there's no condemnation for anyone. Okay. Wherever you are, you said, well, that sounds like me. I think I'm there. Well, there's no condemnation. How many know that God is faithful? And when we continue to seek him and walk with him, I hope you're realizing and seeing that us walking with him, this is a relationship with God. Amen. And in that relationship, we have certain things that we've been talking about concerning money, concerning provision. We talked about God is our provider, didn't we? And we saw there in Luke 12, the first part where we looked at the man, the farmer, who kept building what, bigger barns for all of his things that he had gathered, more grain and more barns and more stuff. And he had what, forgotten God, didn't he? And if we do that, then the Bible said that his soul was required of him that night. And how many know if we don't seek first the kingdom, it doesn't matter how much stuff you get. It doesn't get you to heaven. It's okay to have things, but we don't want ourselves to be so consumed with having things that we have forgotten our Father. But we also learn that God is our provision, isn't he? Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. He is our Father and he is good. And we said, hey, if we'll seek first the kingdom, whatever we need is going to be added to us. If you're his son or daughter, it is by the grace of God that he provides for you. He'll take care of you. He'll see to it that you got something to eat, something to wear, where you need to be. You'll be clothed. Amen. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Aren't you more valuable than they? And God says, yes, they are. And I will take care of you. But as we learn that God is our provider and we gain peace in our life, we want to become what? His good steward. Amen. And as his steward, we looked in Luke 16 where the steward learned to use money to be wise and cancel the debt of the sinner. Amen. And so that when we come into the kingdom of God, when we enter heaven, when this life is over, They're going to receive us into everlasting dwelling places. Amen. How many want to see some people there because you gave a little money to an evangelist or you gave something to the church and someone's life was changed forever? They'll say, hey, I want to thank you because now I realize it was your $20 that got that person to me. It was your money that got the gospel to me, that kept that church going or kept that person coming one more time. And I received Jesus and I want to thank you. Hallelujah. What a day. Isn't that going to be awesome? Heaven is a wonderful place. There's going to be a lot of thankful people. They're going to want to come find you and you'll say, oh, we give all glory to God. Amen. Praise God. But we want to be those that God can use. And then we talked about as a steward and we is someone what that manages someone else's property or finances or their affairs, right? And we're managing that money, that all of our money, right, belongs to God, everything we have, and we become the manager of it. And then we looked there in Luke 19 and we looked at the parable of the pound or the mina, where the stewards, the people received some people say talent, you know, they received a certain amount of money from Jesus. And because of their faithfulness, they used it in business or trading to gain more. Amen. And increase their self for the kingdom. Amen. For the sake of the kingdom. And so, and as we move forward in that, we realize God watches our faithfulness. And there is an anointing that can come upon you to increase what God gives you. Did you know that? His wisdom, amen? It's not about our ability, but His ability. And we say, okay, Lord, here is my provision. Here's what you're saying. Here's what I live on. And here's what I'm giving to you. And so that as we increase, you know, if we're stewarding God's money, we say, oh, well, the Lord's already, I've talked with Him and we have a deal. I'm going to live on Zama dollars, whether it's 60,000, 100,000 or 500,000. It doesn't really matter. But Lord, whatever comes beyond that, I'm going to use it wisely with you. I'm going to listen for your voice and I want to invest. I want to trade it. Or give it where you say, Lord, and co-labor with you so that I can increase what you have given me. And these are important things. And we looked a little bit over at Isaac under the old covenant there. Remember when Isaac sowed in famine? He sowed into the earth during the time of famine, remember? And Isaac put that seed in the ground. Why? Because God had told him. See, this is relationship. Relationship with the Father. See, what some people, well, we'll get to that in a minute. But what Isaac did is he listened to God. God said, if you'll stay where you are, Isaac, in Canaan, right there where the drought is, and put the seed in the ground, I will bless you. And the wisdom of heaven began to come to Isaac. And he began to redig the wells where Abraham had taught him and got these wells dug. And he would dig another well and he had opposition and he had to stand against the opposition. And he would water his seed from wells and bring irrigation into it. It was the wisdom of heaven that he had learned from Abraham. And God began to bless him and he reaped in his field, what? A hundredfold. His whole field began to produce because he was able to water what God gave him. And so Isaac found out God's plan. Isaac had to what? Hear from God, remember? So see, sometimes we got to say, God, what is your plan? Where do I need to hear from you? It looks like this is drying up, Lord, but yet nevertheless, Isaac sowed in that field that was dried because God said so. How many know sometimes God's wisdom or God's direction doesn't always make sense to the natural mind immediately? But he had to hear God's voice and he had to obey God's voice. And he had to break the tradition that his father had gone down to Egypt, remember, to be safe. He left the time when they had famine and they had gone down to Egypt where they were taken care of in the land. How many remember the land of Goshen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And they were blessed. And Isaac adopted the wisdom of previous generations to the circumstances that he was living in. There in Canaan, with the famine in Canaan. He had learned some things. He had gained the wisdom from Abraham, his father, and he used that and adapted it to where he was. Hallelujah. And Isaac had to be bold enough to do something that hadn't been done before and irrigate from wells. You know, sometimes if we hear from God, it may be something nobody had that idea. They say, oh, that'll never work. How many know when God blesses, when God brings wisdom, how many believe that his wisdom works? And Isaac had to overcome the resistance, of course, when they contended with him over these wells. And Isaac had to persevere, not become discouraged by the resistance. How many know sometimes we get resistance in our life? You know, sometimes people say, hey, Brother Joe, what are you doing all that praying for? You are praying all the time, Brother Joe, or whoever you are out there. Amen. What's wrong with you? How come you're praying all the time? You're just praying in tongues. You're just babbling, brother. Because God had said, my wisdom comes when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't always make sense to people. But how many know fellowship with the Father will produce change in your heart to where you have the character to persevere? You have the character to move forward, and you gain the wisdom of heaven. See, it's based on a relationship with our Father. Not upon what we talked about last week, you know, where sometimes people get the idea. We launched out there, and Isaac refused to get into strife with those who were opposing him. He refused. He said, I will not strive with them. Sometimes the enemy brings people to try to oppose you, and our job is to what? To love. Our job is to forgive. Our job is to pray for them, right? Amen. And to walk with God and keep moving with what he said, not based upon the resistance, but based upon the understanding of what God has already said to us. Hallelujah. And then, of course, last week we launched out into the deep, and we looked there at Malachi 3. What is God really saying? It was a blessing, what, to the nation of Israel. And when we understand the blessing was to pour out literal rain upon the land when they were obedient to God. And God wants us to bring whatever we have to him. Amen. The best. They were to bring the best to him. But when we come to the Lord, we know that the rain, said in Matthew 5, falls on what? The just and on the unjust. But guess what? If they had not put any seed into the earth, what kind of harvest would you have? How many people have ever, you know, you got a garden, I could get all the soil ready. I make it just right. Oh, I've got the perfect soil. I'm ready to go. But how many know if I don't put any seed in the ground, what kind of harvest am I going to get? Even if it rains. We had real good rains this year. Brother Doug, how's your garden? I don't understand it. I've got all I keep getting is mud. I don't get it. Well, did you put some seeds in the ground? No. I know God's going to bless me. I didn't put any seed in the dirt, but God's going to bless me. Well, God's not going to bless me. Because how many know we have to work with him? And there's the law that says if I'll put the seed in the ground, when the rain comes, it will produce after its kind. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that's not talking about putting money in a bucket and we get something back necessarily. It's not a formula, but it's a relationship. And when God spoke to Isaac to put the seed in the ground, the harvest came. And when God speaks to you, what does the Bible say? We are what? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Or in the other way that we give in the New Testament is when we what? Purpose in our heart to give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. And I love the great testimony my friend back here, Daryl, was telling me. He says, man, I gave the other day and I really felt I gave because I loved God. Not because I had to, but I wanted to. And that is so awesome. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Hallelujah. That's how we're supposed to walk with God. That's how we're supposed to give to God. Not because of some law or because somebody says you're cursed. You cannot be cursed because God has said that He's already blessed you. Galatians 3:13, you are blessed through Father Abraham. Amen. Jesus became a curse for you. He paid the curse already. The curse cannot come upon you even if somebody said I curse you because God has blessed you. Amen. How many know when He blesses, no man can curse? Hallelujah. Let's look at that. Let's read that scripture a minute. Galatians 3. I know we know where it is, and sometimes I may not have quoted it perfectly there, but I'm going to read it. Galatians chapter 3. What does he say? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So somebody tells you, if you don't give money to my church or to me, or you don't pay your tithe, you're under a curse. They are lying to you. And I'm saying it just like that because that's the truth. And I'm not saying that there is a principle in the Bible. You can give 10% if that's what you choose in your heart. But if all your money belongs to God, how about listening to Him? He might want you to give more. You know, He might want you to give a little less. I don't know. You have to look at your finance and trust Him and walk with Him and build our faith. This is a walk of relationship in faith with God. But you're not cursed. It says here, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. What? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Is Jesus your Savior? And there is a blessing that has already come upon you that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. We received a new spirit. We entered into a new covenant, one that brought us into a family and made you a son and a daughter of God. And there is no one that can curse you because our family is blessed, because God is our Father. I got news for the devil. He cannot win. He cannot defeat you. He cannot destroy you unless you believe Him. But as long as you believe God and you've received the Savior, how many know you are under the blessing? Hallelujah. You're under a blessing. You're already blessed. You're already chosen of God. You're already under the blessing of Abraham. And Abraham, the Bible says, was very rich. In cattle and in silver and in gold. He had all kinds of money. All kinds of things. What God does not allow is for us to become covetous. Or to allow us to have the love of money over Him. We cannot have love for money over God. Amen. But how many know if you get blessed and you have plenty of money, it brings a freedom to you, doesn't it? In this life. A certain amount of understanding. Hey, I can walk with God. I can be a blessing. If I don't have anything, how am I going to bless? Hallelujah. Good news, huh? But when it comes, when I'm available, and I'll say, oh, Lord, now don't get me wrong. I believe we have to walk in faithfulness, and we're going to talk about that today a little bit more. Because Isaac had to obey God. He had to listen. He had to hear from God. We have to hear from God. We are His sons and daughters, and we can. And yes, it is the grace of God. It's the mercy of God that saved us. He saved us from death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And from all the power of the devil. You are already in the blessing of God. Oh, hallelujah. Whoo, don't you listen to anybody that says you're cursed. Oh, you're a liar. That's not true. You're not under the curse because you're not under the law. You're under grace. Jesus became poor that we, through his poverty, right? For I know the grace, Paul said, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty alone, might be made rich. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I receive by grace. Everybody, let's become big receivers. Amen. Glory to God. See there, I got my receivers up right there. Lord, thank you. Praise you, Father. When we believe what he believes about you, you will be blessed and you will walk with him. You are his. By his grace, he adopted us to his own family. And yes, he's made us sons and daughters of God, and he did all of this for us through the perfect work of his son, Jesus. And no, we did not deserve it. But glory to God, we receive it. Woo, we couldn't earn it. He did it for us freely because he loves us. I told you he loves us, right? Amen. And he knew that we were powerless to help ourselves. But we're sons and daughters of God in service for Jesus our King. Isn't that true? Amen. And as sons and daughters, each of us, we have a service to perform. We talked about a little bit Wednesday night, didn't we? We talked a little bit about how we're one body. Every part, every joint supplies. We each have our service in the kingdom of God, whether it's in a ministry, in our family, in a job, in the church, wherever it may be. You have a service for God. You are a light to the world, a city that's set on a hill. Others see you. You are a letter, Paul said, that is read by all men. Glory to God. What are they reading about you? I'm believing God. It's good things. Amen. Why? Because greater is he, the greater one that lives within is rising up. And everything that you are in Christ is coming forward as you spend that fellowship time with him. You're not wasting your time praying, Joe. You're not wasting your time praying, men and women of God. You are developing a relationship with the God of the universe that cannot be stopped. And he begins to transform you more and more into all that Jesus created you to be. To walk in that character, to walk in love, to walk in the peace of God, to walk in righteous living. Amen. In other words, you are a person of your word. Amen. We said the 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, as sons and daughters, we've read this verse before, but I'm going to read it again. Hallelujah. It says, and it talks about stewards. That's who we are. How many are sons? And you're also a steward of the Lord. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Oh, glory. How many know that Proverbs said, a faithful man who can find? God's looking through the earth. He's looking for that faithful man and woman of God. When we are faithful to what God called us to do and faithful to use finances properly and in good stewardship. If Jesus finds us faithful where we are now, he will promote us to new levels of stewardship where more responsibility is required. This is what Jesus said. He said, here, if we're faithful over little, he'll make us what? Faithful over much. But how many knows? You ever see anybody? They're unfaithful. They're still unfaithful. They'll be unfaithful. Maybe not. Now, God takes care of them. God takes care of them, you know, but they're losing money over here. Then it's over there, you know, but yet they have enough clothes. They got enough to eat. They're getting by. They have a little shelter. They're able to go forward if they're a child of God. But how many know it takes faithfulness and diligence with the Father? He rewards those that what? Diligently seek him, doesn't he? That's real faith. We're coming to Him. Why? Because we believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. Hallelujah. But we got to be found faithful. And we begin to receive more responsibility as a steward of God. Luke 16, we read that before too, but we'll read that one more time. It says, He that is what? Faithful in that which is least. Luke chapter 16. Verse 10 through 12 says this, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So here Jesus is saying, I'm looking and I would like to find you faithful. If you continue, that means every day. If how many knows what it means to be faithful? That means every day you get up and you say, Lord, thank you for today. I worship you. I come to you, Father. I'm just here. I want you to know I love you, Lord. Now, granted, I'm not saying, you know, you said, well, I missed a day. Okay. But generally, nearly every day, you're thanking the Lord. Amen. You're worshiping Him. You're praying. You're seeking God as first thing in your life. Amen. And we become faithful. And He says, we be faithful. How many know what it means to be faithful to a job? That means you go every day, right? You don't go three times a week. You know, I knew a guy, and this is the honest truth. I kept praying. I was hoping he'd make it a whole week. But he got this job, and I can't believe they didn't fire him before that, but he made it 90 days, believe it or not. But he would get up, and every single week, he missed at least one day he called in. At least one day, usually 2 days a week. So that means he was there 3 days out of the five. You know, just couldn't seem to get it together. Couldn't get that, what? Faithfulness. But how many know, let's say that was your problem. Did you know God can help you to overcome and become faithful? What would you suggest, Pastor Doug? Well, number one, I would suggest you finding some scriptures on faithfulness in the Bible so that you're beginning to be stirred up. Lord, I thank you. You said I need to be faithful and I'm having a struggle being faithful, but I'm trusting you to help me. So then the next thing I would do is I would get yourself into praying in other tongues. Why? Because how many know the Holy Spirit will build you up on your most holy faith. Your faith is in what God has said, and I'm being built up on the truth that I am the faithfulness of God. And I just begin to declare, I'm faithful, Lord. I am faithful to get there. I could get there on time, and I could go every day. And there's days sometimes, how many know, there's days you don't feel like going to work. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I remember I worked one place and they said it's all right once in a while, not every day, maybe once or twice a year if you wanted to. If you just need the day off, give us a call and say, hey, I'm going fishing. And be honest, and they were very good about it, you know, but they wouldn't put up with that if you did that, you know, three times a week. You know, or twice a week even. But anyway, this guy was doing this and he was unfaithful. And they put up with him for 3 months. And finally they said, I'm sorry, but we have to release you. Why? Because the Bible says an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Anybody ever had a broken tooth? Or maybe you sprained your ankle, your foot's out of joint. I mean, my goodness, you know, it's all the time. In other words, you got pain all the time. They're just a problem. Amen. It's a problem. And it does not cause good things to happen. But when we're faithful, God begins to take us further. Amen. With Him, one of the first areas that Jesus watches regarding faithfulness is to see how you handle your money. Jesus is not in the business of promoting thieves, con artists, nor beggars in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Amen. It's good preaching. Now, there's no condemnation today. I already shared with us. You know, I want you to understand, this is not a condemning message. This is a message so that you can see, hey, where am I? And maybe you're not there. But you know somebody that is, and you can help somebody else. Okay? This is not for condemnation. Some might say, what do you mean, Brother Doug? Thieves are wicked. And we're not wicked. No, you're sons. But the Bible says this, Psalm 37:21. Let's look at Psalm 37:21 for a minute. Hallelujah. I think it's good to read. I like to read out of my Bible. Now, you may have a iPad or a phone or whatever. That's fine. Amen. I have one too, but when I preach, I like to preach out of here. But verse 21 says this, says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy. What does it say? The righteous, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, I lost my place, sorry about that. 21, yeah. The righteous shows mercy and giveth. But it says here, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. And I don't care, you know, you're born again, you may be born again, you may be spirit-filled, you may speak in other tongues. But the Bible says, if you've defaulted on a loan, you're behaving wickedly. You said, well, I'm not default. Well, if you're not paying someone, you owe them money, and you're behind, then you're being wicked. Because we sign, I'm not saying that you can't make communication, make it right. But you need to. Because this is what the Bible says. You're acting wickedly. Jesus is not about to promote you higher in the kingdom until you change. This principle applies to more than just actual loans. Every time that you sign your name, you are giving your word. Amen. You signed your name on that lease. And if you jumped that lease or you left in the middle of it, you said, well, I owed money. You still owed money to it. Then you should pay that. You gave your solemn word, and you're acting wickedly. And that's acting what? Like the flesh and like the world. You've given your word. And what does the Bible say? We're to imitate our Father as beloved children, and He exalted His, what, His word above His name. Amen? Didn't He? God has said, hey, my word is settled forever in heaven. And you can forget about promotion in the kingdom until you repent, and that means to make a change. We change. How many know repent means change, right? It doesn't mean to stay the same. Now, if you're not, you know, if somebody's living together, you know, a boyfriend and girlfriend are living together, we want them to get married. Why? Because that is the change that needs to take place. Everybody says, well, that's easy enough. Yeah. All they have to do is get married, then they're what? They're not living in sin. They have repented. And so in the book of Acts, when it's needful to appoint men to serve food to the widows in Jerusalem, chapter 6, what did they look for? What did they look for? Let's look over here in Acts chapter 6 for a minute. Verse 3 says this, wherefore, brethren, now here are the widows, and they needed some people. The widows aren't getting what they needed. They needed some people to serve some tables. That's all it is. But it says, brethren, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of what? Honest report. Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, honest report, that word right there in the Greek, it means to be well reported of. Amen. How many know you should be well reported of? In other words, you should have a good reputation, even with those in the world. Now, if I go out in the world and, you know, we see, you know, and they say, well, I know them. Yeah, they've been to three apartments in this town. I already know. They skipped out on every lease they ever signed. They're, you know, They owe an electric and the water the last three places they stayed, and they're living with somebody now taking advantage of them. How many know that's not a good report? Amen. That's not an honest report. Well, it might be a true report, but that means that person is not living what? Honestly. And I'm not condemning anyone here today. You can change. Anybody can change, and that's the whole point. But what we want to come to, we want to see, where are we? Okay? Are you of an honest report? Do you have a good report of those that are without? And it comes from another word, another Greek word, which means martyr. How many knows what a martyr is? That means you're willing to die for the cause, right? It means you'd rather die than to go back on your word, what you said. Oh, my Lord. Now, that doesn't mean, you said, well, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I do understand. I've got myself into trouble before. I broke my leg. I owed money. But I called the people. I let them know. I said, listen, I'm doing what I can. I will do everything I can. I'm expecting money every day. You know, they would call me, and one guy would call me every day. And he says, you know, and I didn't know what to say to him. I was just praying, and Lord, you got to help me, because they're calling me every day. I don't know why they called me every day, but they did. They tried to get some money from me. He says, well, I said, well, I don't have it right now. I've broken my leg, but as soon as I get it, I will pay you. I'm expecting some money. Well, when? As soon as it comes. When's it going to get there? When it gets here. When you can't put you down for a certain day. I said, you put whatever date you want to down. I don't mind, you know, but surely on that computer, sir, there's a little box that says, when the money comes, he will pay. And I will. And I did. And I would do whatever I could. I didn't have any extra at the time, or I'd have gave him 50 cents or a dollar. I just didn't have it. But how many know God is faithful? Why? Who are you expecting money from, Brother Doug? From God. God is my provider, not man. I'm not calling my uncle and my aunt. Well, could you borrow some money? I said, no. I said, I'm not here to borrow money. I'm here to trust God. I didn't tell him that, but, you know, he kept saying, well, when's the money coming? I said, as soon as it gets here. When's it going to be there? As soon as it comes. When's it coming? When he gets here. And he didn't know. They didn't know what to say to me. You know, they really didn't. It got to be, he says, man, he's talking in circles. And they didn't know what to say. And so finally I said, listen, it's not doing any good for you to call me every day. I said, call me once a month and we'll talk, okay? You call me every day is not changing anything. And so he did. And sometimes we have to realize I still kept every single bill and everything I owed. If they had turned me over to collections, I still pay them. Regardless, they did not turn me over, thank God. But that's because I kept in connection. I made a deal. I made it right. And I did pay, and money did come, and I did pay it off. And I did become current, and now I owe no man anything to this day. But sometimes, how many know, trouble comes in life. It doesn't mean, you know, hey, I signed on the dotted line. I know I'm responsible. I said, I understand that, sir. I understand it's a lot of money. I understand I'm responsible. I am going to pay this. And it's not to be condemned, but it's to realize, hey, all God's looking for is a repentant heart. And if we will say, hey, Lord, he's looking at those that will hear his wisdom and follow after him. And every single day I was taking, what did you do, Pastor? I took the word of God, and every day I begin to speak over every bill that's sitting on my table. And I said, you are paid in the name of Jesus, because he bore my poverty at the cross. And I believe that I received, Father, these bills paid, every one of them. Were they paid the next day? No. But over time, I continued to build the word of God in my heart, and faith came and the money came. You see, faith will produce money in your account. It will produce money for you, and it will bring forth God's blessing upon your life. But if you just ignoring something and allowing it to be, is not the faith of God. I looked at the facts, but I began to believe the truth of God's word over the facts, and ultimately, I paid every bill. I paid it with God's help. God paid it, really, but through me. He will help you by His grace to repay every loan that you have outstanding. He will cause you to prosper if you'll hearken to the wisdom He has already revealed in His written word. Hallelujah. This is a book of wisdom. This is a book that will bless you. It will cause wisdom to come to you. But if we don't operate according to the Word of God, how are we going to expect God to bless us? See, He made a way. He said, I made a way. If you'll come to me, if you'll bring to me, hasn't He said in His Word that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and He will give grace to help what? We receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. He will give us that mercy and grace to help in time of need. And He'll help us to repay. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no cash shortage with God. There is somewhat of an obedience shortage among His children. Sometimes, how many know, it's not always easy to obey. But when we obey God, and it's difficult, I don't find it fun. I don't like calling people that I owe money to and talking to them. It's not always fun, but I do my best. If I owed the money, I will pay it. And I don't care what it would take. I'm serious. I'm going to pay it if I have to work day and night. Once I got better, I did go to work. I went to work when I wasn't quite fully there yet. Everything that I could do, I did begin to do. And I began to use that money not to buy me another fishing pole, not to go out and eat every day, but to pay the bill that I owed. And I didn't even work to give the money into the kingdom. I worked to pay them back because I owed that money. And I had to be obedient and fulfill my word. Hallelujah. We got to make the quality decision. No more defaulting on loans. No more conning. No more begging. The word, our word has to become what we say and we obey. When we give our word and we say, hey, I signed the dotted line. I signed for that loan. I helped a ministry one time. I was wrong. I probably shouldn't have done. Obviously, I shouldn't have done it because it all came down to me. And it was not a small amount of money to me anyway, a few $1,000s, and I didn't have it. Guess what? I signed the loan. I was responsible. I did the deal. Was I wrong? I was wrong. I admit that, but I take it to God. Guess what? He took care of it for me. He helped me, and I paid it all back, every penny. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't, but God rewards faithfulness, and He's watching our faithfulness with money. Now, I don't do those things. Praise the Lord. How many know? Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't have done. Sometimes I've given my word when I shouldn't have. But the Bible says that we swear what? Even to our own hurt. Amen. He has sworn to His own hurt. Psalm 15:4 says this, but he that honors them that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes what? Changes not. Psalm 15, verse 4. Did you look that up? It's a good one to look up or write it down. Psalm 15 and verse 4. We don't change when we give our word. We fulfill it. You know, a lot of people change their mind. You know, well, God said this. Well, it's okay. If God didn't say it, say, hey, I missed it. I was wrong. I'm not going to do that because God, you know, I thought that's what God said, but it wasn't. But that doesn't mean if you sign the dotted line for money, guess what? You're obligated to it. We have already done that. 15 verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. God will honor you. He will bless you. He will help you if we, what? Swears to his own hurt, and we do not change. Glory to God. So, real quickly, step one, we should get ourselves back. If you're, say if person is, or you're helping somewhere, maybe it's you. You said, well, first I got to get back in the black, get back in the black and get current on your budget. Amen. If you don't have a budget, make one. And if you don't know how to, We'll be glad to help you. We'll find, if I can't help you, we'll find someone that can help you. But God expects you to eat and have gas money. But it's a sin to spend other people's money without their permission. You know, I mean, if you've got a lender and you're behind, why don't you give them a call and say, hey, would it be all right if I took my family out tonight? We were all going to go to McDonald's and eat, and it's probably going to be about $50. You know, would that be okay with you? I don't think that's going to go over very well, is it? See, you've got somebody else's money. Are you being a steward over there? See, you owe that money if you're behind. I'm not saying if you're current, that's fine. If you're current, you're making all your bills, that's great. But if you're behind, then you owe it to them. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Doug. Make a budget. If you don't know how, we'll get somebody to help you. And remember, honesty is a must. We have to just be honest. Say, Lord, I'm going to be honest. And that means you look at your problem just like you would. If you're sick, you don't say, well, I'm not sick. That doesn't get anybody anything. We call those things that are not as though they were. I believe I receive healing, but I realize, hey, if I had a health problem, then we say, hey, this is what's wrong with me, doctor. Right? We don't go to the doctor and say, now I'm healed. Well, what are you doing here? You know, I mean, he's looking at the natural. He's trying to help you overcome. You know, there are places that can also help you sometimes. Excuse me. Sorry about that. You know, there are places that can help you. They'll help you get a budget. They'll help you with your debtors sometimes, you know, and help you get everything taken care of. All right, step two, become consistent with your giving and confessing God's word. If you do not now give offerings at all, start. Confess God's word over your giving every day. That means find you some scriptures. I'll give you three right now. Philippians 4:19, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and Psalm 34:10. There's three right there. You can get started. Amen. Today. So you get those out this afternoon. You could read those and start beginning to build your faith and begin to speak the word of God every day. And then worship God as being your total provider every day. Thank you, Lord. You're my provider. I worship you, Jesus. You are my provision. I'm not looking to man. Lord, I thank you for what I can do. Whatever you say, that's what I'll do. I work with all my hands as unto the Lord. Whatever I set my hand to, I believe you'll bless, Father. But you are my provision, Lord. I'm trusting you. And number three, we begin repaying past loans that we've defaulted on. Write it down. Make a list of everything that you owe, especially old debts that were never repaid. If you got an old debt that wasn't repaid, you know, maybe you need to look it up. Maybe you need to find out. Say, hey, do I have something, Lord? Talk to the Lord about it. I understand. If you were to such a degree and somebody declared bankruptcy, that's, you know, that's between you and the Lord and them. You'll have to talk to the Lord about that. But I'm just saying, you know, those are laws that are in place for a reason, because sometimes people go, you know, if you had a, think about this. If you had something or a medical condition or whatever, and you know, couldn't work or whatever, you could go thousands and tens of thousands into debt, and you may not have a choice. You know, you had to declare bankruptcy. You know, God understands and God knows. But that's not where we stay and that's not where we live. Amen. All right, so we make a list of everything we owe. Any old debts, anything else. Take our list to God with a repentant heart. Ask him to help you, and he will. Amen. He will. How many believe God will help you? Right? Amen. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And then Hebrews 4:16, we already said this verse. But let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many know God is gracious and merciful? He will help you. Start making payments on them, no matter how small they are in the beginning. You know, I remember Pastor Dave said that one time. He said he was behind on a particular bill and he sent 50 cents in. He sent a dollar in. A couple of dollars, $5, $10, $20, whatever you have. It's, you know, they said, well, we can't accept that. Well, just tell them that's all I have. Call them. Say, if you'll accept it, I'm going to keep paying anyway. Because I'm going to pay this off. And you keep track of it yourself. Say, I paid them $20. I paid them this. Whatever you have to do, make it work. Romans 13:8 says to owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another fulfills what the law. How many know that it is the love of God to keep our commitment? How many know that we're to love God first, right? And then what's the second commandment? To love our neighbor, what? As ourselves. How do you want to be? You know, how many times people seen that? I mean, you read in the Bible where the guy that was forgiven all that debt, remember, he went to the king and he owes millions of dollars and the king forgives him. And then he goes to the guy that owes him 20 bucks and he's wringing his neck and has him, you know, is holding him down till he gets that, I'm going to put you in prison till you pay me all. Well, when the king heard about it, it wasn't good news for him, was it? Amen. So we need to realize we treat others how we want to be treated. We'd want to be paid back, wouldn't we? Amen. If you loan some money, although, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't do that. We should, if we do loan someone something, we shouldn't do it if we can't afford to lose that money. That's really the truth of it. You know, if you can't afford to loan it, you know, and it's going to hurt you if you loaned it to someone, then don't do it. Amen. Owe no man anything but to love him. And how can we say, really, you know, that we're walking in love when we've not repaid a loan that someone made to you in good faith? God will help you pay off past debts if you will ask him and thank him for it daily and be willing to follow whatever instructions he may give you. Now, what are those instructions? For example, he may instruct you, and I'll tell some examples that God has blessed me at different times in different ways. Sometimes it was I got a different job or a second job. In other words, get a job. And pray during the evening or during the time that you're not working, whatever that may be. I've worked overnight before. Amen. You know, there was a time when I worked 70 to 80 hours a week. As a security officer, I was blessed because I could pray. I had a lot of prayer time on my job, quite a bit. But then I would pray, you know, when I got off, I'd get my hour or so in of prayer and go to sleep. And get up and start again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and go till 9 o'clock in the morning for several months. You said, well, how did you do that? Well, by the faith of God and by the grace of God and with his help. He blessed me. He blessed me. It's one way. I'm not saying it's the only way. That's one way he may bless you. Another thing, we may be seeking God. He may instruct you to get some more training. Maybe you need a better paying job. How many knows that's true? Especially for some of our young people. I know our sister back here, she's going to school. Amen. Praise the Lord, Hannah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Education's not all bad, okay? It's a good thing. It can help you and bless you. God's leading her and guiding her in that. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and then sometimes there's a combination of things. He may want you to work a little more and get some education. How many knows that means maybe burning some midnight oil occasionally? Gaining some more education or learning another trade. Amen. It's good preaching anyway, Pastor Doug. I know some of you are retired. I understand. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to work. That's good. We can trust God. Amen. We still have to all believe God. He still may tell you to do something. I don't know. I mean, there's so many things online these days. There's probably more than I can number, that's for sure. I see them all the time. I don't know what's good and what's not, to be honest. But if you seek God, he'll show you. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Why? He says, well, why do you keep bringing it back, Pastor Doug? I've got to hear God because it's based upon a relationship with our Father. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you don't have a job, you can get one somewhere. How many know you should do? How many knows if you work at McDonald's for minimum wage, something is more than zero? Amen? Yeah, but it doesn't cover my bills. I understand. But something is more than zero, right? You're making progress until God may show you something more. Amen. So a good gauge for us that we can use, if our character has developed to the point that God might want to use you in something else, or maybe a full-time ministry, are we willing to die before we beg? Or are we willing to die before we break our word? Amen? That's what that word was saying, like a martyr. If you're still resorting to plan B by going to another human being and asking for money, it's okay, but listen to yourself. To bail you out when your circumstances are real bad, then you're really not quite ready for God's promotion. Amen? And we believe that. You know, I mean, if I constantly come over, hey, Joe, can I borrow $20 or $200? I'm behind on my rent. And next month, guess what? If Joe gives me $200, I'm going to Joe next month. Hey, you got $200 I can borrow, Joe? I'm behind on my rent. I need to catch up. Hey, Joe, guess what? You know, and I keep doing that. I'm not trusting what? My father, am I? I'm trusting in Brother Joe. Joe's a nice guy, and he's loaning me money a few times, but after a while, guess what? Brother Joe says no, doesn't he? I hope. Because God is faithful, and he becomes my provider, not man. And if that is you, when you get a job, I'll pay sufficiently to meet your needs of your family, and then give all of the free time that you can to praying in other tongues. Amen? You got a job that take care of you and your family? Keep praying so the Holy Spirit can develop you to that level of character in you. What? That is what he does, and he's very good at it. He develops a level of character in you to where you begin to prosper, where you become what? Faithful with what he's given you. And you continue to grow. And you continue to move forward. Because you cannot spend quality time and consistent time with the Holy Ghost that you will not mature in God. That he will not help you to change. Amen? How many believe that? The Holy Spirit will help you. He will help you. If you'll get the Word of God and get the Holy Spirit on your side, praying, worshiping, spending time with him, he's going to develop you. He's going to prosper you. You're going to become that faithful steward. Amen. And you're going to overcome everything that is against you. You can overcome it. If someone, you know, if you find those people, help them. Or if that's you, begin to develop yourself. Continue to speak over those things. Continue to believe God. Begin to make the payment to people you owe. Even if it's just a little bit. Even if it's something, start. How many know if you don't give God something? How many know faith is also an action? How many know that? Do you know that? Faith is also an action. Amen. Sometimes it's an act of saying, hey, I'm going to make this payment. Lord, I'm trusting you. You are my provider. It is paid. I call this thing paid off. All right, let me read a few scriptures to us about the faithfulness of God and what we can do. Some scriptures here. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and giveth. We read that one. Psalm 37:21. It's Psalm 37:21. Proverbs 22:7 says this, says the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, Pastor Doug, are you saying it's a sin to borrow money? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. The problem is when we don't pay it back and we're not consistent, we don't keep our word. And if we default and we get behind, then we've got a problem. We need to get that taken care of. It's better not to borrow if at all possible. But, you know, how many know? God may tell you to borrow if he's leading you to start a business or to do something and you borrowed some money. Well, praise the Lord. We're trusting God. You're going to get it back, right? You're going to pay it back, and you're going to keep our word no matter what. All right, 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. 2 Corinthians 8:21. That's 2 Corinthians 8:21. We want to be honest in what? All things. Amen. We want to deal honestly. In the sight of the Lord and in the sight of men. well, you know, he's a man, that's just natural. No, we have to be honest in the sight of the Lord and the sight of men. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12 says, and that ye study to be quiet. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. That you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Boy, that sounds to me, maybe you should have a job or some kind of business you should do, right? He said, and don't, not that you're, in other words, he's saying that you study to be what? To be quiet. In other words, you're not bragging about what you're doing. You're just taking care of your own business, your own life, and you're making sure that your family's needs are met, and you're walking honestly with integrity toward everybody. Amen? That's a very, I know it sounds very simple, but how many know everybody faces different things in life, okay? And sometimes that is one. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we trust that we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Oh boy, that means we what? We keep our word, we pay the bills that we sign for. I don't care if it was $10,000. Well, I signed for that back when I was 18 and I should have went to that school, but I didn't. I took the money and I did something else with it. Then you need to pay that back still. If you owe it, you need to find that what that is, or let that person call you, give them your phone number again. Amen. I know somebody like that. I said, you need to take care of it. You need to get that paid. Start making payments on it and get that ticket. Because how many know sometimes if you neglect something, what happens? You got a student loan and you haven't paid on it in 20 years. Guess what? It was $10,000. Now it's $30,000. Oh, guess what? You signed on the dotted line. And you say, well, it'll be forgiven. Well, it usually doesn't happen. You know, that's like saying, well, I'm going to get a big inheritance. Well, how much money does your mother have? $5,000. You know, it's not a very big inheritance, Pastor Doug. You're not going to get a big inheritance. I already have a big inheritance from my father. My father God, he takes care of me. I have an inheritance from him. Amen. And we can trust him. All right. Anyway, 1 Peter 2:11-12 says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? We are honest when we have an honest report. Amen? Keeping our conversation, our manner of life honest and truthful and being a good testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:27-28 says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Amen. Well, I want to be a bigger giver. Well, you might need to get a little job or, you know, ask the Lord. Amen. Talk to him about it. Lord, how can I give a little more? What can I do? Hallelujah. But here he's saying, don't steal anymore. In other words, don't be a mooch. Anybody ever seen the mooch, you know? He's the guy that's in the neighborhood, you know. You know him because he was over there last week. And he's over with this friend this week eating their food. And then he sleeps over there with the other guy. And then he's back over here eating food and goes over there and finds something, you know, something else. Just getting by, mooching. In other words, he is not studying to be quiet and mind his own business, but he is stealing from other people by being a mooch. How many know that's one way we can kind of be a, you know, kind of stealing? Amen. You are. You're saying, hey, I'm taking here and there and But don't steal anymore, but labor with your hands. Get a job. 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He counted me faithful, Paul said. God is looking for faithful men. Amen? Faithful people. Now, the number one place you need to be faithful is with your prayer life, because that's where the devil really tries to stop us. Because if you'll spend that time in the Word and in prayer, and then begin to worship God, hallelujah. How many know things go better even if you're having problems? Even if you're struggling, that's when God can bring the change. He brings it here first, and then we begin to apply it in this natural world. Glory to God. That is part of our faith. Hallelujah. Woo. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Hallelujah. I believe I can find some faithful men in the body of Christ. I see some faithful men here today. I see some faithful women here today. I see some faithful out there on the internet. I know you're faithful. But if that's you today and you say, well, I'm in all kinds of trouble and I need help. Well, there's help available. It's okay. Take yourself, but just realize, hey, I got to take this to the Lord. I've got to start making a change. I need to do something. I want to have the character of God. I want God to know that I'm faithful with that which is little. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Uh-oh. What's that mean? Now, probably means something like gambling. You know, you're trying to make haste to make a bunch of money, and usually it doesn't work out too well, does it? But the Bible also says, he that saves little by little shall be rich. Did you know it's not, most people don't become millionaires. Very, very few by an inheritance. Very few in number. But you know what? You know how most people get rich? They save a little bit at a time. Over time. Like Joseph's age. He's at a great age. Isn't that wonderful? He's got a job, you know, you just start saving. If you saved $100 a week, brother, I mean, that's $5,000 a year. Over, by the time he's 65, you know, you get $10,000 in there. If he only worked 2 years, only saved for a couple of years, put $10,000 in a good mutual fund, he could be a millionaire by the time he retires. Never touch it, never added to it, but he just let it go. Why? Because there was time involved. Rate times time equals your return. I don't have that much time left, so I got to put a lot more in. See? But if I, you know, if we're wise when we're young, we'll be faithful to that and save little by little. And you'll be rich. Glory to God. People, they say, well, I want to retire when I'm, you know, whatever age. Well, if you figure out what you need to invest and how you need to do it, it's very possible. It's very possible. You'll be taking care of the rest of your life on a little bit of money. You know, and you just have to be, what, faithful. Hebrews 13:5 says this, let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness or greediness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many know? God doesn't mind having stuff, but he doesn't want that stuff to have you. We cannot be covetous and desire what somebody else has. Well, I want this or that or the other. Well, talk to the Lord about it. Talk to him. Is that part of God's purpose for your life? Is that something that's going to benefit me? Or is it better for, see, like for me, you know, that'd be nice. Hey, I could say, well, I would like to have a boat. Well, wouldn't it be great for Pastor Doug to have a boat? Well, where's Pastor Doug this morning? He's out on the lake in his boat all summer long. I'm not here one Sunday. You know, or maybe I'm here one Sunday out of the summer, you know. Where's the rest of the time? He's out on his boat. Well, that's not going to work for God's call on my life, is it? Amen. It'd be better for Pastor Doug for the one Sunday he missed out on the lake to maybe rent the boat, right? Or borrow somebody else's boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's not feasible for me to own a boat because it would be a very big cost. And I wouldn't be able to use it because God's call on my life and where we all should be in church on Sunday, right? Amen. Hallelujah. They said, yeah, but there's Saturday. I understand. If God wants you to have a boat, that's okay with me. Hallelujah. But pray about it. Seek the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Based on what? Everybody say relationship. Amen. It's based upon our heart with Him. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Let's just stop there for today. I'm going to close. Hallelujah. I think we're all probably ready to eat. It's 12:30, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going to stop right there, and we're going to base it upon what our fellowship, our relationship with the Father, and how many are going to just take a look. Hey, I need to think in my own heart. You know, Lord, was there somebody I didn't pay back? I don't think so. But, you know, I didn't borrow that much money, but if there was, God can bring it back to you and He can help you. Amen. This is not condemnation. Everybody say, I'm not condemned. Nobody's condemned, and it's not to condemn people, but to help and to seek after God and to trust God and to do the right things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the truth of Your word, that we are going to live truly, live honestly, Lord, deal truly in the affairs of life, Father, that we'll be a godly example to those that are without and those that are within the church, Lord. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy upon every single person and those that we each may come in contact with, Lord, so that we have things that we can share. We can share this truth, Father, with those that are young and old and say, hey, listen, if you'll listen to God's wisdom, God has wisdom within His word to cause us to prosper. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for the truth of this word, and we take it to heart, Lord. We want to be faithful stewards of Yours and to walk with You in truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.